Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 606, titled Project Paperclip and AIDS. This is being recorded on August 12th of the year 2007. We're going to continue with our admittedly speculative line of inquiry, in which we're asking whether perhaps Project Paperclip, the incorporation of Nazi scientists, many of them heinous war criminals, into the U.S. National Security Establishment for research purposes, might have had something to do with the appearance of AIDS. Now, this is a topic which, like so many, is best approached by the listeners in terms or through the context of the almost quarter of a century's worth of work that I've been doing on this subject, including the material available from Spitfire, the broadcast material, specifically AFA Program 16, and the many programs and descriptions available online. Because this is a complicated and admittedly speculative line of discussion, so please do utilize the websites, the Spitfire website and the linked websites, to flesh out your understanding. Now, what we're going to look at in side two is a very interesting individual, a guy named Franz Lizal Zacharias. The literature, at least some of it, maintains that he was a doctor. Others just say Franz Lizal Zacharias. Whether or not he was a doctor, as some of the literature maintains, he was certainly an agent for the Abwehr, German military intelligence, in World War II. Now, Franz Lizal Zacharias was one of a number of Nazi operatives in Spain who were sought by the Allies at the end of the war, but whom Francisco Franco, the fascist dictator of Spain, who was a close ally of Hitler and Mussolini, refused to extradite to the United States or Britain or anywhere else. The interesting thing, well, there are a lot of interesting things about Franz Lizal Zacharias, but his main job, apparently, was getting monkeys and other animals from Africa so that the Nazis could use them for research purposes, and the Spanish press maintains that that research involved spreading diseases among concentration camp inmates, including the plague. Now, recall that the plague, bubonic plague, was subject to a hereditary immunity to infection. That present only, certainly in white people, people of European extraction, and according to some sources, only purebred Northern Europeans. This is the CCR5 Delta 32 factor, which is present only in the white race. No other racial group has it, and according to some literature, present only in purebred Northern Europeans. And the farther north you go, the more readily one encounters the CCR5 Delta 32 gene, which not only confers immunity from bubonic plague infection, but also from AIDS, basically. Franz Lizal Zacharias, again, his main job was getting monkeys out of Africa for the Nazi experiments. Whatever it was about him that the Allies found so intriguing, it certainly wasn't that he knew how to get monkeys out of Africa. Obviously, the U.S. knew how to do that, so did Britain, so did everybody else. So whatever it was about Franz Lizal Zacharias that attracted interest, it wasn't that he knew how to get monkeys out of Africa. I would point out, in terms of contamination of vaccines by SV40 and other viral contaminants, as we looked at in our discussions with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, the author of the book Emerging Viruses, the many American medical and scientific researchers continued to get monkeys from Spain long for decades after the end of World War II. One wonders to what extent Franz Lizal Zacharias might have been involved with that. Does that have anything to do with some of the viral contaminants in vaccines? That's a much more complicated thing than anything Franz Lizal Zacharias could have done, but was he aware of some of these viral contaminants? Was this a way of carrying on the war against America? One can only speculate in this regard. One point that I want to make, too, is that the Nazi experimentation for toxins and also apparently biological infectious agents, their research in World War II went from apes to humans. They began experimenting with toxins and BW agents on humans, and then they began, by experimenting on apes, on primates, and then they began experimenting on humans. That mirrors the etiology of AIDS, which is a monkey virus that jumped to humans. I believe it was deliberately manufactured, deliberately altered, but whether or not that hypothesis I've been presenting for so long is accurate, certainly the etiology of AIDS jumping from monkeys to humans mirrors the progression of Nazi research, in which they began by experimenting on monkeys and primates, they began by experimenting on apes, and then began experimenting on humans. And those apes were secured for the Nazis by Dr. Franz Liesau Zacharias. Turning now to an Associated Press story from 1997. This is titled, Report, Spain Protected Undercover Nazis from Allies. It's by Ciaran Giles, or C-I-A-R-A-N Giles, an Associated Press writer. It's Dateline Madrid, Spain. It reads in part, by the way, it's March 31st of 1997. One tortured French citizens in ice baths. Another was a Gestapo agent who packed bombs into crates of Spanish oranges bound for England. They were just two of 104 Nazi secret agents in Spain whom the Allies sought near the end of World War II. But Spanish dictator Francisco Franco, Adolf Hitler's ally, refused to hand them over, according to an investigative report by El País, a Madrid newspaper. Skipping down. Another of the agents was Franz Liesau Zacharias, whose job for Hitler's Abwehr spy agency was to obtain monkeys and other animals from Spain's colonies in Africa. The animals used for experiments in Germany aimed at manufacturing killer diseases that were to be unleashed on concentration camp inmates, El País reported. And more about some of these diseases. Now again, Franz Liesau Zacharias, his job was getting monkeys from Africa. The U.S., the Allies, certainly knew how to do that. So they didn't need him for that. And as we will see later on in the program, I mentioned it in Side 1, Dr. Eric Traub, who was in charge of the program of spreading diseases, he was in charge of virological and bacteriological warfare for the Third Reich, certainly came into the United States at the end of the war and worked in, among other places, Plum Island. So this was the guy who directed the program, and Franz Liesau Zacharias was being sought as well. Another article, this from Agence France Presse, again March 30th of 1997, the day before that last article. Its headline, Spanish newspaper publishes list of Nazis protected by Franco, Stateline Madrid, March 30th. A Spanish newspaper Sunday published what it says is a list of 104 Nazis who fled to Spain after World War II and were protected by the regime of General Francisco Franco. The left-leaning daily El País said the fugitives had belonged to the Gestapo, the SS, and the Nazi military intelligence agency. The newspaper said it obtained the so-called blacklist from the Foreign Ministry archives. Allied intelligence services submitted it to the Spanish government in 1945 and asked that the people on it be extradited to Germany, but none of them were, the paper said. Skipping down. Another German on the list is Franz Liesau Zacharias, who died in Madrid in 1992 at the age of 84. A member of the German military intelligence agency, the Abwehr, he had been in charge of obtaining animals in Spanish territories in Africa for experiments in Germany, the Allies said. These experiments included spreading horrific diseases such as the plague in concentration camps, the newspaper said. So according to the experiments, at least according to this account, they were spreading diseases. Many of the other accounts also mentioned plague. They were spreading plague in the concentration camps. Now, again, in the concentration camps, or in Nazi research, the Nazis began by experimenting on apes, and then they progressed to human beings, concentration camp inmates. By the way, the source for the progression from apes to humans is the book The Crime and Punishment of I.G. Farben by Joseph Borken. I will have the specific reference in its entirety in the written description for the program. My copy of the book is in storage, but I will have that when the written description for the Record 606 is up on the Spitfire website. Now, again, note that this guy was somebody, Franz Liesau Zacharias, was somebody that the Allies sought. one wonders. This is the guy who was getting the monkeys from Africa for the Nazi experimentation, which, like AIDS, progressed from apes to humans. And one of the diseases, apparently, that was part of this program, that they were deliberately testing diseases on concentration camp inmates, one of those was the bubonic plague. Now, as we looked at inside one, bubonic plague, there is a genetic immunity to infection by the plague, the CCR5 Delta 32 gene, and that also confers immunity from infection by HIV. What I wonder is whether perhaps that discovery, the discovery of this hereditary immunity, immune factor, the CCR5 Delta 32, might have been observed by the Nazis during their experiments. Obviously, there's no proof of that. It does not appear, I don't think it's a particularly outlandish question to ask. However, they were experimenting with the bubonic plague, and there is a hereditary immunity to infection by plague and AIDS that is present only in white people and, according to some sources, allegedly only present in Northern Europeans, purebred Northern Europeans. Was that that immunity discovered by Dr. Franz Liesau-Zacharias or other Nazi scientists? Was that research ultimately incorporated into the U.S. research on biological warfare as part of Project Paperclip? Was Franz Liesau-Zacharias collecting cell cultures, perhaps from Africans, from monkeys, from Europeans? There are more questions and answers about this fellow, but I think it's very interesting indeed that Franz Liesau-Zacharias would have been sought by the Allies. They certainly there were more heinous war criminals whom we know were brought into the country for their expertise and were never punished. And one wonders about Franz Liesau-Zacharias, the fellow who was getting the monkeys from Africa that the Nazis used for their experiments. They ultimately progressed from apes to humans. That's what we saw with AIDS. One of the diseases they were apparently experimenting with and that Zacharias was involved with was the spreading of plague in concentration camps, because there's a hereditary protection against infection by plague that also apparently provides hereditary protection against infection by HIV. Another interesting aspect of Franz Liesau-Zacharias, returning once again to the Agence France-Presse article from March 30th of 1997, this report discusses many of the people who were being sought. It added that many of those on the list started up businesses in Spain after the war, mainly in the Basque country. The Franco regime issued extradition orders against several, but never carried out the orders, it added. Now, note that many of them started businesses as, and just about anybody who's heard this program, one of the major focal points of what I talk about is the Bormann Capital Network that grew out of not only the Nazi looting program that took place during World War II, but the Nazi flight capital program that basically secreted virtually all of the liquid wealth of Europe abroad in neutral countries under German corporate fronts, and that's money was used to basically finance the activities of a Third Reich gone underground, and it was basically the capital that led to the, quote, economic miracle, unquote, of Germany in the post-World War II period. The text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, is available online. People should please read that book. I would note here, though, that Franz Liesau-Zacharias was among those on the list that started up a company. And it suggests that Liesau-Zacharias was certainly involved with the Underground Reich, again, a Reich that went underground and perpetuated itself, not unlike the way the Mafia has perpetuated itself. And Liesau-Zacharias may very well have been one of the many Nazis who was a beneficiary of the Flight Capital Program. Franz Liesau-Zacharias set up a security company, SIAISA, and as we're going to see in this particular article, that company sold eavesdropping equipment, listening equipment, to the Spanish Intelligence Service. Those of you who are longtime listeners may recall the many, many times that we've used the book The Great Heroin Coup by Henrik Kruger. In The Great Heroin Coup, Henry Krueger describes Otto Skorzeny, the SS and Odessa functionary, as having virtually run the Spanish intelligence service single-handedly in the post-war period up to his death in 1975. Remembering that Skorzeny slash Odessa slash Nazi link to the Spanish intelligence services, listen to the following. Now, this, by the way, is one of those funky internet translations, so I'm going to do the best I can with this. This is from World, the Spanish publication of April 13th of 1997. It's by Fernando Garrilla and Fernando Lazaro. It's datelined Madrid, again, April 13th of 1997. And basically, it's headlined, "A presumed Nazi agent directed the company that provided the listening devices to the CESID, that's the Spanish Intelligence Services." It reads in part, and again, I'm going to do my best with this funky internet translation. "A presumed agent of the Nazi espionage was the president of the company that provided to the CESID, again, the Spanish Intelligence Service, all of the equipment for the purpose of eavesdropping. Franz Lizal Zacharias was president of the company SIAISA until his death in December of 1992. Since then, the company is presided over by his son, Christian Lizal von Lattau, and the vice president is his other son, Francisco Gerald. Also," and it also apparently is aided by his widow, Corina. And skipping down still further into this particular article, "When World War II was finished, the Franco regime protected and denied its extradition of Zacharias to the Allies. Now, World has documentation that demonstrates that for 80 years, it maintained..." I don't think it was 80 years, but anyway. "Now, the World has documented that it maintained its relationship," that is to say, SIAI, that basically he maintained his relationship with the Spanish Secret Services. Beginning again. "Now, the World has documentation that demonstrates that he, Zacharias, maintained his relation with the Spanish Secret Services. In particular, his company was the main supplier of equipment for eavesdropping for the CESID and maintained magnificent relationships with the then head of the Spanish Secret Services, General Alonso Manglano." So, Franz Lizal Zacharias had a company that worked very closely with the Spanish intelligence services right up until his death in 1992. It may still be working with the Spanish intelligence services. By the way, among those who were investigating Franz Lizal Zacharias and his sons in that company was Judge Baltazar Garzon. He was the fellow who put out indictments for Augusto Pinochet and Henry Kissinger, among others, and more recently has returned indictments against members of the Muslim Brotherhood in connection with the Madrid train bombings. And it's hard to ferret out exactly what Baltazar was investigating, but the company, Franz Lizal Zacharias's company, was involved with, or certainly cropped up in the context of the investigation of the shooting of a couple of aides to Spanish parliamentarians. Now, that company, SIAISA, was begun in 1944. That is when the Nazi flight capital program was beginning. From an internet site, which appears to have been the SIAISA website, in fact it talks about this. Grupo SAISA, SIAISA, consists of two main companies, SIAISA and Trotasegur. SIAISA is a company that was established in 1944. That is when the Nazis were going underground. That is when the Bormann Capital Flight Capital Program was established. Recall that in the Agence France-Presse article, it mentions that many of the Nazis who were on that extradition list had begun some of their own businesses. Now, what I'm going to do next is to review very quickly some of the information that's contained in AFA 16, For the Record 16, some of the interviews that I had with Dr. Leonard Horowitz and others. AIDS research in the United States was largely focused, was largely conducted, at least in its early phase, by the National Cancer Institute's Special Viral Cancer Research Program. That basically was at Fort Detrick, the Army's top biological and chemical warfare research center, and when it was turned over to the National Cancer Institute, it was maintained for the National Cancer Institute by Litton Bionetics, a genetic engineering, a biotechnology subsidiary of Litton Industries, a major defense contractor, and also a vehicle for covert operations in the post-World War II period. The aforementioned Litton Bionetics, as we looked at in AFA 16, grew out of a company called Bionetics Research Systems Incorporated, which was doing work with, among others, among other organisms, the Mason-Pfizer monkey virus, which produced basically a disease in monkeys very similar to AIDS, sort of a simian immunodeficiency syndrome. And the top researcher for what eventually became Litton Bionetics was none other than Robert Gallo, the top AIDS researcher in the United States. We've also taken a look at circumstantial evidence that the vehicle for disseminating what I believe was the deliberately created and spread HIV was the experimental hepatitis B vaccine that was manufactured by Merck. Merck is a major pharmaceutical company in the United States. It also was deeply involved with biological warfare research, and there is also a German Merck company as well. The German and American Merck were part of the same company basically until the end of World War I, at which point they became separately incorporated, but there remain contacts between them. And in addition to the biological warfare role that Merck had played, George W. Merck, by the way, was a key figure in biological warfare research for the U.S. in World War II. Merck, the German Merck, and again, the American Merck and the German Merck were part of the same company until the end of World War I. The German Merck was deeply involved with the Bormann Flight Capital Program. Reading now from Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, about the Flight Capital Program that led to the Bormann Capital Network, or that produced the Bormann Capital Network. The movement of German assets into Switzerland had also gone well, Bormann noted from his reports. Flight Capital investments had been accomplished principally through the establishment of subsidiaries of powerful German firms. Over half the total German capital in Switzerland was used in setting up holding companies representing IG Farben, Merck, Siemens, Osram, Henkel, and others. A holding company may not trade in any form. It may only hold stock in other companies, but through this device, the existing German firms and the 750 new corporations established under the Bormann program gave themselves absolute control over a post-war economic network of viable, prosperous companies that stretched from the Ruhr to the neutrals of Europe and to the countries of South America, a control that continues today and is easily maintained through the bearer bonds or shares issued by these corporations to cloak real ownership. So the German Merck, a key player in the Bormann Flight Capital Program, the American Merck, part of the same company till the end of World War I, was deeply involved with biological warfare research and was the manufacturer of what many researchers feel was the vehicle for spreading AIDS. Now, that experimental hepatitis B vaccine was developed by a fellow named Dr. Wolf Schmunes. He was originally a Polish Jew whose family were killed in the Holocaust. He then became a prisoner of the Stalin regime. A very interesting history for this fellow. After release from detention in 1946, he was somehow allowed to finish his medical education in Tomsk in central Russia. While a student, he married a Russian woman. He specialized in epidemiology, and when his wife contracted a nearly fatal case of hepatitis, Schmunes decided that the study of that disease would be his life's work. In 1959, the Soviets allowed him and his family to return to Poland, where he held a series of minor positions as an epidemiologist in municipal and regional health departments. During this time, he told Kellner an interesting story, unquote. Due to exhaustion and stress from work, he applied to the authorities for a vacation at a rest home. Schmunes was allowed to share a room with a Catholic priest. A remarkable friendship developed, and the two men corresponded for a long time thereafter. The Polish priest eventually became the first Polish pope in Catholic history, the current anti-communist and anti-gay pope, John Paul II. By the way, this book is from AIDS and the Doctors. This passage is from AIDS and the Doctors of Death by Dr. Alan Cantwell, obviously published when JP2 was still alive. Elsewhere in that entire passage, the entire discussion of Dr. Wolf Schmunas will be in the description for this program. And one of the things that I want to note, too, was that Dr. Eric Traub, again, in charge of bacteriological and virological warfare research for Nazi Germany, was brought back into the United States, or was brought to the United States under the auspices of Project Paperclip. We took a look at that in For the Record 480, accessing information from Lab 257, the disturbing story of the government's secret Plum Island Germ Laboratory by Michael Christopher Carroll. And one of the things that's worth noting is that the virological and bacteriological warfare program that Traub directed was a cancer research program, rather like, to a certain extent at least, the available evidence suggests the viral cancer research program of the NCI. This was certainly a cover for biological warfare. I believe that AIDS was in all probability developed under the auspices of the Special Viral Cancer Research Program at the NCI and Fort Detrick. From Lab 257, everybody seemed willing to forget about Eric Traub's dirty past, that he played a crucial role in the Nazis' cancer research program, unquote, the cover name for their biological warfare program, and that he worked directly under SS Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler. One more detail before we leave this. This is also something that obviously is speculative and is not necessarily relevant at all. But in the mid-1950s, when the National Institutes of Health were basically proving less than vigorous in ferreting out the SV40 contaminant, of the monkey viral contaminant of the polio vaccine, a fellow from South Africa basically became the head of the Division of Biological Standards. This fellow says, a gentleman named Workman, the fellow who was put in charge of the Division of Biologic Standards was Roderick Murray. And from the book The Virus and the Vaccine by Debbie Bookchin and Jim Schumacher, we close with, Murray, a native of South Africa, was a taciturn, inscrutable, and exceedingly cautious leader. Under his direction, the DBS continued to live under the cloud of Qatar and proved unwilling, some critics would say afraid, to make almost any changes in government policies regarding polio vaccine regulation for his entire decade-and-a-half tenure. As a result, the United States would lag far behind Western Europe in adopting advances in vaccine safety. So we had a South African native in charge of basically safeguarding that vaccines in the U.S. did not have deadly monkey viruses or other contaminants. And obviously, he proved less than vigorous in that particular regard. Recall that one of the things that we've spoken about in connection with AIDS is the fact that South Africa's apartheid regime was basically an outgrowth of the Third Reich. I'll put some references for that in the description for the program, but we're going to have to wrap things up right now. This highlights, though, the necessity for utilizing the descriptions for the broadcast. So the connection between the apartheid regime of South Africa and Nazi Germany will be reviewed in the description. This, however, concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 606, Project Paperclip and AIDS, being recorded on August 12th of the year 2007. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.